Hi, everybody. Welcome to FNS Wrestling Podcast. I am your host, back to talk about ROH Episode 512 from this past Saturday, July 10th. It is their go-home show heading into their pay-per-view Best in the World that will be on Sunday night, and I imagine I will find some time, maybe tomorrow being Tuesday, to talk about that one once I'm finished watching it. So welcome back if you're a returning listener. Welcome if you're a new listener. If you'd like to contact myself and my son, who does our Saturday podcast with me, but still isn't really watching ROH, he will probably watch some of Best in the World with me because the crowds are returning. I don't know if he'll join me to talk about it or not, but I may have some opinions of his, at least when I do sit down to talk about it. But if you'd like to contact us, fnswrestling@gmail.com, fns_wrestling_podcast on Instagram, or you can leave a comment in YouTube if that's where you happen to be listening. I promise that I will get back to you. I always reply to any feedback that we get, and I look forward to hearing anything from anybody. So I figure I'm going to talk about the show, and then maybe I'll finish up by looking at a quick just rundown of the card for the Best in the World show. Maybe I'll give my predictions on the spot. I haven't really thought too much about it, but I can sort of give you an idea of what I think might happen. So let's get into looking at this episode of Ring of Honor, which I believe is number 512. So let's do that now. So as always, Quinn McKay welcomes us. She immediately hypes the Best in the World pay-per-view while reminding us that this will be the return of fans to Ring of Honor after, what, about 18 months probably or something like that, that the first hour of the show is free on YouTube. She then runs down the card for tonight's show. We're going to get a three-way tag team match between Violence Unlimited, The Foundation, and LFI. We're going to get PJ Black versus Flip Gordon. And in the opener, we will see the Briscoes as they're starting back at the bottom after the fight on the farm last week. So now they've settled their issues. They can reform as a tag team and they're starting at the bottom. They'll face Dojo members Joe Keys and Dante Caballero. And that match starts right away. And first we get Quinn McKay's backstage. She says that she's going to talk to her Dojo friends who look like they're scared to face the Briscoes. She goes up, talks to them. They can barely even speak as they do look terrified. Caballero can finally get out. This is a big opportunity, but that's basically it. Quinn leads them in taking some deep breaths to calm down, and Joe Keys admits that they're going to get their butts kicked. Caballero says if they go missing to check the forest around Sandy Forks. So this was kind of funny, right? I felt a little bit bad that these guys had to cut this type of promo, but I don't think it's anything anyone's going to remember years down the road if they end up being successful. So I thought this was kind of funny because the goal here is to sort of rebuild the Briscoes as a tag team. So these guys being sort of terrified and knowing that they don't have a chance sort of adds to that, I guess. So obviously it doesn't make Keys and Caballero look super strong, but I thought it was kind of funny and I don't think there's a problem with it. The Briscoes then get their chance and they're basically just yelling about starting back at the bottom with guns a-blazing. They'll take Keys and Caballero out and keep the guns blazing until they're back at the top. This was standard Briscoes speaking, like, not, and I'm not being critical, they bring tons of energy, but it's basically if you know the Briscoes, you know what you're getting, and this is what you got. So a fine promo from them. So we do get the match, the Briscoe brothers versus Caballero and Keys. Joe Keys and Dante Caballero, I believe, to get their first names in there. So the Briscoes dominate early. They isolate Keys, make frequent tags. Caballero eventually is in, gets a flurry, but Mark Briscoe takes over on both of the Dojo guys for a little bit, and they end up having to escape to the floor. Signature stuff from the Briscoes. We get Redneck Boogie for two after Caballero is taken out on the floor, so Keys takes the Redneck Boogie, has to kick out of it. We get a neck breaker and the Froggy Bow a little bit later to Joe Keys, and the Briscoes do pick up the win, no surprise there. It was pretty much an enhancement match just to sort of start the Briscoes' journey, that story of them climbing back to the top from the bottom. It was a fine match. It was what it needed to be, right? The Dojo guys didn't really get much in. The Briscoes looked pretty dominant, and then I guess we're going to move on. I've seen Keys look better than this before. There's been a couple singles matches where I actually thought he looked pretty good. But his role in this match wasn't to shine, right? He was here to make the Briscoes look good. So that's to be expected. And I don't think it's a knock on him. He's doing what they're asking him to do. And as a Dojo guy, that's your role. So they did fine here. The next match we're going to get is Flip Gordon versus PJ Black. And Brian Johnson is joining the commentary team. And I love Brian Johnson. If you listen to the show, you know that. And he's already angry right away about being introduced after the other two commentators. I think he refers to them as bozos, which is his standard insult. So he's mad right out of the gate, as he tends to be. Didn't appreciate being the last name mentioned out of the commentary group. So Quinn is then shown quickly trying to talk to Flip backstage as he's doing like handstand push-ups, but he's rudely refuses to speak to her. Then PJ Black does speak to Quinn briefly. She talks about PJ and Flip Styles, basically saying that Flip is a younger version of himself. But PJ, the difference is that PJ is far more experienced. He's been all over the world, and he sort of rhymes off a bunch of places he's been. So basically saying, yes, we're very similar, but I've got more experience, so I'm better, was the gist of that. Again, fine promo, pretty standard, nothing spectacular there. Rick Abani mentions EC3 as this is starting. Brian Johnson, this I just wrote this down because it made me laugh, and I agree. Brian Johnson says he spoke to EC3 backstage, then went to watch paint dry because it was more interesting. And that pretty much sums up how I feel about when EC3 speaks as well in this most recent incarnation of his character. So lots of wrestling to no advantage to start, as Johnson is just on commentary running down Flip Gordon. And Flip Gordon's a heel, so I don't know if this makes... Because Brian Johnson, everything he says, he's a heel, so he's even heelier than the heel, I guess. I'm not quite sure. Some of the dynamics in ROH are unclear, and maybe that's what they're going for. I don't know. Black takes control out on the floor until Gordon traps him in the apron and runs him into the barricade. We get a springboard dropkick by Gordon, sends Black to the floor, and a big super kick from Gordon to follow up. Fisherman Buster by Gordon for one, so the action really starts to pick up, and this match gets quite a bit of time, so there's a few highlights from this, I thought. More notes than I normally take for an ROH match, if I'm being honest. We get a DDT attempt by Gordon countered with a brainbuster from PJ Black, Frankensteiner, and sort of a sloppy moonsault by PJ Black for a two, but he does kind of save it. We get sort of a flipping fallaway slam and a running shooting star for two by Flip Gordon. Black follows Gordon into the ropes, and they sort of hits a springboard Spanish fly off the second rope right in the middle, though, not at the in the corner. And then some sort of, I wrote down nasty twisting DDT. If Jack were here, my son, he would probably correct me and tell me exactly what it was, but I'm not quite as good at that as he is. So that's what I'm going to call it. A nasty twisting DDT for a near fall. That sequence looked pretty crazy. Blue Thunderbomb by Flip for a two count. The Flip 5, it's kind of like a pop-up cutter into an STF. And finally, PJ Black taps out to Flip Gordon. Flip breaks the hold, then reapplies it again after the bell. Brian Johnson runs down from commentary to make the save. Johnson yells at the camera about beating the Briscoes at Best in the World. Sort of it leaves Johnson and Flip Gordon are in the ring. And as Flip's sort of recovering, Johnson's yelling about how they're going to beat the Briscoes and whatnot. So this match, honestly, it just kept going and going. And these guys just kind of kept doing better and better stuff, it felt to me. A ton of high impact moves, high flying stuff mixed in. Both of these guys are really capable of some cool looking offense. I just wish there was some sort of story coming into this, because it would have been a nice boost, because the in-ring action here was really good. And you had Brian Johnson on commentary, and he's trying to accomplish something in terms of building some heat or some story to this. This was an excellent Ring of Honor TV match. I think these guys seem to have really good chemistry and worked well together. But again, I just wish there was something a little bit more behind this. And just kind of looking forward, the combination of Brian Johnson, who's just constantly angry about something at all, just a miserable guy, which I love though, and he's sort of paired up with this always chill PJ Black, very calm and controlled and composed PJ Black, could be fun if they want to run with that for a little bit. Although I can't imagine they beat the Briscoes at Best in the World, but I still am interested by the combination. They're just complete opposites personality wise in their character, so it could be an interesting combination. I think we then move into the main event, triple threat tag team match, which is LFI, this time being Dragon Lee and Kenny King, versus The Foundation, versus Violence Unlimited, Brody King and Tony Deppen for Violence Unlimited, and the Foundation is Lethal and Gresham for this one. So we get an LFI promo. Each team gets, less than a minute to sort of have a little promo as they're making their entrance. So for LFI, it's Kenny King, and this is going to be tough for me. I hope I got it straight in my notes, because you've got Kenny King of LFI and Brody King of Violence Unlimited. So I'm hoping my notes are clear. If not, I apologize, but I tried to catch it before coming on here to record this. So for LFI, Kenny King speaks, and he says that this match is meaningless. It's not for any belts. It doesn't mean anything. So he and Dragon Lee are just going to watch the other four dumbasses beat each other up, which I already like. And this is LFI is one of these factions where they are just bad guys to the core, and they're always going to cheat, even if they don't need to. They're always going to take the shortcut and the easy way out, and I like it about them, right? It's consistent. It's entertaining. We'll see how it works out in this match. So their plan is basically to just get out of the way and do nothing and conserve their energy, which to me makes a lot of sense. Because as they're saying, there is no stakes for this match. There's nothing riding on this match. So they're going to sort of take it easy. Jay Lethal, interesting promo. He basically says straight up he's looking past this match to his match with Brody King at Best in the World. He talks about this being about wrestling and Violence Unlimited are trying to bring in violence and whatever, and they're trying to keep things pure. Obviously, it's about wrestling, not bar fighting or kickboxing, and that basically Lethal says he's one of the best. So doesn't let Gresham speak, doesn't talk about this tag team match tonight, just talks about himself and literally admits that he's looking past tonight's match to Brody King, which I thought was interesting. I don't know if that's the start of a story or something, but just an interesting way to deliver his promo. Brody King then gets his turn. He says that Lethal is just going to get a taste of what's in store for him at Best in the World, eat or be eaten. So very, very brief stuff here. Everything was fine. Nothing amazing, but nothing bad either. So the match starts, and I just noticed that I think seems new to me. Jay Lethal's wearing a singlet for this match. Now, again, if Jack were watching, he's my detail guy, he would know for sure and could probably cite the date that he started wearing it, but I don't remember seeing him in one. It seems new to me. So King and Lee, that's Kenny King, and Dragon Lee leave, and they go and basically sit at the timekeeper's table, or the table that the ring bell was on anyways. So they're just going to execute their plan and sit out and watch the action. So Deppen and Gresham start out. Gresham is just, this was a cool little sequence because he's just really calmly one step ahead of Deppen, like not breaking a sweat at all as Deppen's trying to grapple with him, and Gresham just constantly one step ahead. It was kind of a cool segment. So Dragon Lee and Kenny King sort of insert themselves here as Gresham's running the ropes. They trip him, drag him out to the floor, hit a double suplex onto the floor, and then Deppen comes and rolls Gresham back in the ring. So this would sort of be a recurring thing in this match, as we'll see, because LFI then do the same thing to Jay Lethal a few minutes later. So trip him, drag him out, hit him with a double suplex, and then Brody King comes by this time to grab Lethal and throw him back in the ring. So Deppen and Brody King double team Lethal, including a senton, and it's cool because Deppen kind of does the senton and Brody King shoves him down onto his opponent for a greater impact. LFI then do the same thing to Tony Deppen. They drag him out for a suplex on the floor, then Brody King a few minutes later, but the only difference is Brody King, they can't execute the double suplex. He reverses it and takes out both LFI on the floor for a little bit of time here. The Foundation then have a chance to double team Brody King, including a low dropkick and a DDT combo. So Dragon Lee is finally the legal man, and he hits a pump handle powerbomb to Gresham. Big spine buster by Kenny King to Gresham, followed by a tiger driver for a two count, as the action's sort of picking up here near the end. LFI double team Gresham. Brody King comes in to make the save, and he sort of cleans house of everybody. Brody King is up on the ropes at one point. Gresham kind of sneaks under him, walks to the middle of the ring with Brody King on his shoulders and power bombs him, which I thought was impressive, as Brody King's got to be close to 300 pounds and Gresham is a legit 5'4", but obviously incredibly strong. Pretty cool spot. We get a nice cutter by Graham. He sort of rolls through, and Dragon Lee takes it at a really tough angle. Even commentary point out it looked really good. Then there's a Shining Wizard kind of out of nowhere by Deppen to Gresham that flattens him, looked really good. But Kenny King quickly steps in, kicks Deppen, and I think Deppen ends up rolling out of the ring. And Kenny King steals the pinfall on Gresham, and LFI get the win. Their strategy that they decided on executed it really well, and it worked for them, which is kind of a cool thing. This was actually a really fun match, and I did like the LFI hung out on the outside just as they said they were going to do until they saw their opportunity. And they struck and they picked up the win. So this was a lot of great action in this match. Everybody got a chance to shine. Really fun. I mean, I thought this was a very strong television main event. And I think a pretty good show of wrestling. So I'll get into my overall thoughts, because this was a hard show for me to rate. Because on one hand, the in-ring action was really good, and the two final matches I thought were really entertaining TV matches, that being the Violence Unlimited Foundation match and the one right before that, right? So I thought, which was Gordon, sorry, Flip Gordon and PJ Black. I thought both of those matches were excellent TV matches. So that's not my issue. And the opener was solid too. Like the Briscoes in an enhancement match, totally fine. But my issues with this show come in when you consider that this is in fact the go-home show for what I think is a fairly major pay-per-view for them. And it's definitely the first one that fans will be in attendance for in like 18 months or whatever it is, basically a year and a half. So from that perspective, I don't think this show did a good job. There was no mention of the championship match between Rush and Bandido, basically. No hype for it. Which I thought was a very interesting choice. So this show did very little to hype any of the matches at Best in the World, if I'm being honest. Like Quinn went over them at the beginning of the show. We got a little bit of tension added between Jay Lethal and Brody King from their interactions. And we see a little bit of development between PJ Black and Brian Johnson as a team, I guess. But that's kind of a lower card consideration at this point, even though I love Brian Johnson, obviously. And really nothing other than that. So I really enjoyed watching the show just on its own, like in a vacuum or whatever, taken out of context. But in context of trying to build for a pay-per-view that's happening the next night and has a major, I think, championship match on it, I think this show really didn't do its job as a go-home show in that sense. So I'm going to sort of meet in the middle and give this show a B because it is entertaining to watch. I'd recommend either of the last two matches. If you're interested in checking out some ROH. But again, I don't think they helped themselves and made anybody want to see the pay-per-view more than they already did, which I think should have been the point here, especially it's the very next day. So if this had been a really hot show, right, you may have picked up some pay-per-view buys. I don't know. I was going to watch it anyways. It didn't really affect me. But again, just sort of dropped the ball, in my opinion, on that. But anyways, I gave the show a B. Worth checking out, but again, fall short in some other areas. Okay, to look at the Best in the World card here, just quickly, this is the most recent list that I have. We've got PCO and Danhausen forming a team versus the Bouncers, which is what, Mike Malonis and Beer City Brawler, I guess. I guess I'll make quick picks here. I'm going to say I'll take PCO and Danhausen. Danhausen seems to be really popular, and I have a feeling he's going to be very popular with the fans, very over, if you will, to use a wrestling term. And PCO tends to be booked pretty strongly, so it seems like a weird team, and I don't know what they have planned for the Bouncers. The Bouncers are generally lower or mid-card, and I don't see any signs of them sort of ascending right now, so I'll take PCO and Danhausen. Then we've got Rey Horus versus Demonic Flamita. I'll take Flamita in this one. I just feel like he's the one getting a bit more attention now. I don't know if they're looking to drag this feud out. I think Flamita has a win already, if I remember correctly. I can't remember. That's why I need my son here with his perfect memory to tell me. But I'll take Flamita in that one. We then get the Briscoes versus PJ Black and Brian Johnson. I don't think there's many universes where Black and Johnson win, so I'll take the Briscoes. They're not going to do this whole we're starting from the bottom story and get derailed in their second match, I don't imagine. So I think that's a pretty, if I were to put a lock on one, that might be one. I'll take the Briscoes in that. EC3 versus Flip Gordon. I'll say EC3 again. Just feels like the guy there, although Flip Gordon has a title shot coming up. That's true. I believe he won it in whatever that competition was. So I'll still take EC3. I'll go with my gut and take EC3 in that match. He just seems like the higher profile star here. I don't know. I don't think they have much planned for Flip Gordon, but he does have a title match coming up, but I feel like that's just to hold the status quo until something bigger comes along sort of thing. Jay Lethal versus Brody King. That's tough. I'm going to say Brody King because I really feel like they need to build this guy into a bigger star than he is. And this could be an opportunity, although it's tough to pick against Lethal in Ring of Honor. He seems to win a lot, but I will take Brody King for this one. Last man standing match, Silas Young versus Josh Woods. Fairly confident Woods is going to pick up the win here. It's time for him to sort of pick up the win over his mentor and probably end this feud. Pretty confident in that one. I'll take Josh Woods. ROH six-man championship Shane Taylor Promotions, which is Shane Taylor, Khan, and Moses, versus Dalton Castle, Dak Draper, and Eli Isom, which is sort of a team that's just been thrown together. I think the idea was that Dalton Castle was scouting them in the Survival of the Fittest tournament and has sort of convinced them to form some sort of team. So I would assume Shane Taylor Promotions win. I hope so. I think they're awesome. And I mean, Dalton Castle's team seems kind of thrown together at this point just for the sake of this. So I feel like the championship stay with Shane Taylor Promotions here. So the ROH World Tag Team Championships, we're going to have Tracy Williams and Rhett Titus of the Foundation defending against Homicide and Chris Dickinson of Violence Unlimited. I'm going to say that the champions will retain. I don't really have a good reason why, other than I don't quite think it's time for Homicide and Chris Dickinson. They haven't been established really as a tag team that much in ROH or at all. I'm just going off my memory. We'll say not much, at least. Whereas the Foundation, that's their whole idea, that they work together and they're better wrestlers and stuff, so I'll say it stays on them. World Television Championship, Tony Deppen versus Dragon Lee. I'll take Dragon Lee. Dragon Lee's possibly my favorite wrestler in this company, and I just think he needs that championship back. I feel like maybe he was going to have a long run with it before his injury, and now he's healthy, so Deppen was sort of holding it for him, it feels like to me. So I'll take Dragon Lee in that one, partly because I want it to happen and partly because I do think it will happen as well. So that's my choice there. The Pure Championship, Jonathan Gresham defending against Mike Bennett. I will take Jonathan Gresham. I don't see Bennett as a pure wrestler. I imagine the story is going to be he's going to prove that he belongs in division and that he should be considered a pure wrestler, but I don't think they'll quite yet put the title on him, but I guess it's possible, but I'll take Gresham in that one. And then the main event, it's your champion Roosh versus Bandido, who won the Survival of the Fittest tournament to get this title shot, and I'm going to choose Bandido. Again, I really like Roosh. I've said this the last couple weeks. He's just does not seem to be available to be on TV. And I don't love an absentee champion in this company that I watch every week. So I think Bandido's fantastic. I think he's a really strong babyface. I could see him with the title. And I think it's just time to put the championship on somebody who's going to be around. Now, that being said, I don't know what Roosh's schedule is. Maybe he's about to be available and on Ring of Honor television all the time. In that case, maybe it's Roosh, but I'm going to take Bandido. I think it's time to switch it up. And again, selfishly, I really like Bandido. Another one of my favorites in ROH, so I'm hoping that he picks up the championship there. So that's what I will say. Well, that brings me to the end of this sort of review of Ring of Honor 512 and taking a look at the Best in the World card. Again, I will watch Best in the World, and I will find some time to come down and talk about it briefly, I imagine. Jack may join me. He may not join me. We do have something in the works, hopefully, we're coming up on a year of our Saturday show. Episode 52 is coming up this Saturday, which is pretty crazy to think. Jack wants to do a little something, so just keep your eyes out for that. Wherever you're following us or subscribing, hopefully if you are, I'm sure you'll get notified if we put out anything new. And as I like to do, I just want to thank everybody for spending any time listening to myself and Jack when he's around talk about wrestling. We're really having a blast doing it, and we appreciate anyone that gives us any time out of their week to do so. So like I said, keep an eye out for some sort of bonus episode. And if not, worst case scenario, we'll definitely be back on Saturday for our 52nd one-year anniversary episode of FNS Wrestling Podcast. And we hope to see you there. And until then, take care.